Good day and welcome to podcast number 3 on moosetech.net.
Did you say Moose Tech?
I said Moose Tech.
You're killing me with that.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, well, anyways, good day. That's right.
Take off, hosers. I'm Darren Morton.
Joe Pisano.
And we are here to provide as much music and technology information as we possibly can, trying to get the music community plugged in with technology, and that's music educators, independent artists, musicians.
Trying to get the dialogue going, really. What we want to do is establish communication, see what you think about what we think. And, of course, you can check out our website at www.mustech.net.
And what's the email? What's the email?
Email is info@mustech.net.
And we want your feedback because, you know, quite frankly, we want some topics.
That's
We can keep throwing things out, things that interest us, but we want to know what you want to hear. And we'll do the research, we'll do the talking, you do the listening, and it's free.
And we don't even claim to be right.
No, exactly.
But, you know, educated maybe, right? Yeah. I don't know. that's right. So, hey, last time we were talking about copyright, and we brought up some pretty interesting topics, I thought, some copyright questions that came up, and you always put me on the spot, as you always do. You know, oh, by the way, hey, what do you think about this? Of course, as you've probably figured out, we don't do a tremendous amount of planning for the podcast. We have a general topic, and then we just base it like a radio show. It's a conversation.
And that's the important part, because people talk about these things. You meet at the water cooler at work. You meet at the student union on a campus, college campus somewhere.
In the car, wherever.
You got it.
Especially something dear to musicians like copyright.
Dun, dun, dun.
It affects both sides. You know, the people that are making creative works, they need to have protection. The people that are listening to creative works, I think that they need to have a little bit of flexibility with copyright, but I think that they need to pay for certain things. I think they need to support certain things. I'm certainly not an advocate of do what you want. There is an organization that's out there that's kind of dealing with the other side of copyright, and I'll throw them a plug right now. It's called downhillbattle.org. They're not against musicians, but they're looking at maybe extending what we consider as fair use. There are some things out there with copyright that that may be illegal, but the question is it really unethical?
Yeah.
There are some things out there. You know, I keep thinking back to you have kids, I have kids, and they're getting involved in ensembles. They are involved in ensembles. And, of course, for, you know, technically for us to videotape or to even make an audio recording of them, we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, you know, when someone that is a conductor, they go out and they purchase music, and they go to perform a concert of that. When you purchase the music, you are actually purchasing performance rights to that music.
Correct.
You're not performing reproduction rights, or you're not you're not actually purchasing mechanical rights for that as well. So it kind of puts us in a bind, especially as educators. Like, you know that parents out there, no matter what you say or you put in the program, are going to videotape things. And incidentally, I think it's getting more and more annoying to watch someone videotape something from in the audiences because of these super gigantic LCD screens that you see out there.
Have
you noticed this?
Yep.
It's like little candles everywhere that you see out there all the time, whether it's from a camera or from a videotape.
Have you been to a concert lately? You know, years back, if there was a great performance on stage or a ballad, the lighters went up in the air. Nowadays, it's cell phones and Blackberries.
That's right. Yeah. No more candles. It's all cell phones. And they're actually brighter than candles.
Yes.
Or, you know, or lighter.
And more annoying, I might add.
They are. So, you know, the question comes, okay, what's ethical and what's unethical? What's going to get me jailed and what's not going to get me jailed? Well, you know, RIA, the Recording Industry Association of America, as you know them very well,
very
because
well.
You deal with them, they are making a big move to get people. Especially college students and high school students, in particular college students, because they're usually over 18. It's a little bit less hassle for them.
Yeah.
But in particular, they're out there trying to get people on copyright infringements, especially with the peer-to-peer or point-to-point services like Kazaa.
Oh,
and used to be WinMX was one of them, and there's a whole host of them out there now with different types of technology for that. But I thought maybe I'd talk a little bit about things I think maybe we should be considered for fair use. I'm certainly not saying that you can do these things, but I think that these things should be considered fair use, because I think the copyright law as it stands right now kind of hurts us in certain instances, and it's certainly not helping the publishers in some instances, because it's just making us mad.
Mm-hmm.
It's making us mad. For instance, we do a lot of piano recitals, and one of the things that you do with that is you might have to make a copy for a page turn. Makes sense. Well, I got to make an extra copy, make the page turn easier, and technically fair use might allow you to do that, but it's not clear.
Yeah.
It's not clear, but what fair use doesn't allow us to do as adjudicators is, an adjudicator, we're basically judging people. We might have anywhere between maybe 5 to 100 students that we're looking at in a given day,
mm-hmm.
or maybe between 3 to 15 ensembles. As adjudicators, we kind of need to see the music of what they're doing to be able to judge properly.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So fair use does not allow us to make a copy of their music and look off of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go out and we have to buy a copy. Or in the case of if you have 4 or 5 adjudicators,
oh, my goodness,
you'd have
to
buy 5 or 6 scores mm-hmm. for that. And, you know, the publishers aren't helping us any because, you know, the scores are half the cost of the entire the music.
Right.
So for $10, I can get, you know, another copy of the score, and I need 5 of those in some cases,
oh,
or I can purchase the whole thing for $30. So they're not, it doesn't really help us. Now, to me, it seems to me that most publishers aren't going to go after you for that, but it's not, it should be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a fair use.
Unless you have a closet full of monks someplace that can transcribe quickly.
Yeah, and even at that, okay, now we're in the, okay, was that a direct, or did you paraphrase that?
Yeah,
or, you
know, exactly.
What was it?
And then you have to pay the monks.
That's right. You know, so you're out more money.
You know, a life of poverty really doesn't exist.
What's that, illumination,
yeah.
right? That's what they used to call that. We're gonna have illumination with that.
And so we have the top 10 list of things you are going to illuminate concerning copyright.
Well, I don't. You know, again, these are things that maybe I'd like to see changed. You know, the first thing I talked about a little bit was with page turning, and the second thing was with the adjudicator should be able to make a copy. It only makes sense to me. One of the things that really gets me as an ensemble director is when we lose parts. And as much as we try, and if you don't know, directors are probably some of the most organized people in the world.
Mm,
you
yes.
might have 80 people in the band. You might have 150 people in the band. And if you're one of these gigantic schools, you might have 300 and some people in the band.
Mm-hmm.
You may have that many people in your orchestra, in your choir. Of course, an orchestra with 300 would be gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen choirs approaching 300.
And yeah.
It's kind of like a flood of mass people in
mm-hmm.
there. So you have to be organized. But copyright, as it stands right now, every time we get into a large ensemble situation, we're at the mercy of what the publishers decide is how many parts come with the purchase score.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if I have a small group, let's say 50, 60 people, I go order something from J.W. Pepper or Volkwines, the score, it's going to come with maybe 7 trumpet parts or, you know, X amount of flute parts, X amount of this and X amount of that. That's fine for a small ensemble. I went out, I purchased it. If I have a larger ensemble, I'm still dealing with a single ensemble. It's still one group.
Mm-hmm.
Publishers, as it is right now, say, you know what? Go buy another copy to fill in your parts. So we're not really legally allowed to just make duplicate parts. So if I need an extra couple flute copies, and Lord knows you're going to need more clarinet copies. I don't know why. You always need more clarinet copies. you have to either purchase those individually, or you have to go out and you have to buy another entire deck. You have
mm-hmm.
to buy another entire full arrangement of that. To me, it seems to me that the gist is, or what the sense is to buy my work. We've purchased your work already.
Mm-hmm.
We're legally supporting you, and now you're going to penalize us because we have a good program. I think publishers should consider, and some of them are, more. You see it more recently than you have in the past. They're saying if you need to make a couple extra copies, go ahead. But I think that's fair use. I need a couple extra trumpet parts. Go ahead. Here you go. Make the copies of
mm-hmm.
those. Don't bug us. And you know, and here's the thing. We're, you know, talking about bug people. The big thing is and this really gets under my skin, is copyright assumes that if you go to get a copyright answer from a publisher, that no answer is the equivalent of no. I think that publishers should have some kind of obligation to get back to us when we ask questions. They know that if they don't get back to you, then you have to assume you're being told, hey, we got a phone ringing here.
We
on
got
the
a
podcast.
Phone ringing. Talking about technology.
Talking about inconveniences, right? Inconveniences of technology.
Wow. Okay, Brother Pisano, we're going to have to pause for a few minutes, and then okay. We are going to do podcast number 4.
Podcast number 4, no way.
Yep, because we have so much to cover, and we don't want to put up these 85-gig podcast files.
All right, that sounds good. Well, I guess we'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit more about the ethics of copyright and the legalities of copyright, and you have to stay tuned. I'll tell you what, rather than at some point... making you wait a whole nother week for this, we'll go ahead and get this other, the second part of the third podcast. We'll get the second part out to you as soon as we can. So,
sounds good. Wrap it up, Mr. Pisano.
All right, well, anyway, so I'm Joe Pisano with MuseTech.net.
And I'm Darren Morton.
And we're sure glad you tuned in. And we'll catch you next time.